Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning. And let's just, come on over here. Let's make it a small group together. So I have to crane my neck that way. Wow, front row. That's good. All right, let's have prayer and get started. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we can share together. It's such a privilege to be together and share your word and to look at the practical aspects of healthful living. We ask your presence to be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, good morning. And what is the age range here? 18 to 17, 16, 16 to 18. Okay. 20. Okay, good. I wanted to start with a biblical thought. Here we are at the end of the world. Why on earth are we talking about nutrition and lifestyle when we have such an urgent, critical hour that we're living in? Why do you suppose that it's part of the Advent? Do you think we need to shut that door? It's kind of loud. Why do you suppose that we are talking about lifestyle as Adventists right before the second coming of Jesus Christ? Why on earth would we do such a thing? Yes. It's a doorway to ministry. Okay. Clears our minds for understanding great truths. Yes.
Our health is a testimony to the rest of the world.
Our health is a testimony. Do you think that it's possible that this message has anything to do with the judgment hour? The judgment hour. In Revelation 14:7. It says that we are to fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. All right, so here we have the first angel's message flying through the midst of heaven, crying with what kind of a voice? A loud voice saying, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him. So giving glory to God and worshiping Him are tied in to the first angel's message. What does it mean to give glory to God? What does it mean to give glory to God? The Bible says, Paul helps us to understand, there are a number of applications for what it means to give glory to God when you study the Bible, but one of the important applications of glorifying God is, it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Glorify God in your mind, in your body, and in your spirit, which are His. So integrally tied up in the first angel's message is the commission to yield our bodies as a temple for the Holy Spirit. So it's part of the judgment hour message. Now, why do you suppose that God placed that as a prerequisite for the even stronger messages of coming out of Babylon and this whole false system of worship? Why do you suppose that the very first step in this critical hour has to do with getting our personal lives right with God? Do we have another example of that in the Bible? Do we have another example of a critical hour where there was a confrontation with Babylon and the issue of false worship and a great crisis and a great abduction of God's people, and the very first thing that you see happening with this people is an issue that has to do with personal reform? Yes.
Daniel.
He determined in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was in the middle of a religious crisis. Now, we can also go to the New Testament and see that there's a critical issue involved, and some of you have touched on it. And that is, if you look at Luke chapter 21, right about the middle of the chapter, it talks about the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And what are they? Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, men's hearts failing them for fear, and a certain looking for of judgment. And it says there that actually means dead end. Men's hearts failing them for fear. That they have distress of nations with perplexity. And it says, beware of surfeiting and drunkenness, lest that day come upon you unawares. So here again, what is surfeiting? What is surfeiting? Does anybody know? It actually refers to gluttony, inordinate appetite. So there is a direct tie-in right before the second coming of Jesus Christ with an inordinate lifestyle, with stress, depression, intemperance, being out of control, being linked with unpreparedness for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So it's not about broccoli. It's not about adding 15 years to your life. It's about the fact that we're in a crisis, we're in the judgment hour, and that God has ordained it as part of our judgment hour message to help people get back under the control of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that feel like a good thing? It seems like that's what we ought to do. And are addictions a problem today? Is it possible to be addicted to something other than drugs? Is it possible to be addicted to food? Do you ever heard of a junk food junkie? You heard that junk food junkie or a chocoholic? Okay. What does it mean to be addicted to a food? How does that happen? How do people develop food addictions? Well, I wish we had a lot of time to discuss the physiology of food addictions and cravings. It's quite interesting, but I want to show you this morning briefly before we go into our slide program what a drug-like dose of a macronutrient is. What is a macronutrient? A macronutrient. Anybody? Macro is what? Versus micro. Macro is what you need in large amounts. What are the three nutrients that we need in large amounts, relatively? We need carbohydrates, we need sugar, we need protein, and we need fat. Those are macronutrients. And I want to show you this morning a psychopharmacologic dose of a macronutrient. Now, wow, that's a phrase. What does psycho mean? What does it have to do with? It has to do with your mind. What is pharmacology? Drugs. So we're talking about a drug-like dose of a nutrient that has a mind-altering effect that can actually change brain chemistry. Now, is a mint a psychopharmacologic dose of a macronutrient? What do you think? Just common sense. What do you think? A cookie? How about a cookie? How about an occasional piece of pie? Is that going to blow your brains? Of course not. All right. But the problem is we're having a birthday party for breakfast, Christmas for lunch, Thanksgiving for dinner, 4th of July before we go to bed, and the amount of sugar that we're taking in and fats is actually carving our brain chemistry. It's changing it and creating very real addictions. And so I just want to demonstrate that this morning to you before we have our slide program, and I need a volunteer. I need somebody to help me. All right. Come on up. What is your name?
Ivan.
Are you Ivan the Terrible? You're not. Once in a while? No. Okay, come on over here. All right, does anybody recognize this? What is it?
Mountain.
It's a Mountain Dew. My husband calls them Mountain Don'ts, which I think is kind of great. And what's this? It's a bigger Mountain Dew. That's exactly right. Which is the size that most people drink? This is the size. I worked with a lady in California that was drinking 10 of these a day. She was addicted. She was getting 1/10 the lethal dose of caffeine every day. Have you ever seen someone who's been drinking alcohol for many, many years, what their skin looks like and their belly? That's what she looked like, from pure carb, from taking so much carb. What else would be of concern in a Mountain Dew besides the caffeine? The sugar. Well, let's take a look and see what... Let's look at the small bottle and see what that looks like. And we started very late today, so we're not going to have time to do some of the things that I intended, but we'll get enough just to get a taste of some of the concepts that God wants for us. All right, let's take a look at this, Ivan. How much sugar is in here? What does that say?
31 grams.
31 grams. Now, that doesn't...
Wait, how many?
That doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, 31 grams. How many, let's round it to 32 for just convenience. There are 4 grams in 1 teaspoon. So if we divide 4 into 32, how many teaspoons is that? It's 8. All right, let's count out and see what that looks like. Ivan, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to hold the glass. And let's go ahead and don't do it perfectly. We're not doing a science experiment here, so we'll just 1, 2, count with me, 3, 4 full teaspoons, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, now I had some oatmeal this morning, and Ivan was a little sparing with some of those teaspoons, but that's about 8 teaspoons of sugar right there. That's a lump, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? I had some oatmeal this morning. If I put a teaspoon of brown sugar on my oatmeal, is that a big deal? I mean, what would your mom say? It's no big deal. What if you put two? What would she say? It's enough. I mean, that's enough. What if you put eight? What would she do? She'd go, are you having a problem today? Now, most people think of this as one serving, don't they? Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look in here and see how many servings are in this bottle.
Two and a half.
Two and a half. All right. Do you share your pop with 1.5 friends? That's the question. So how many more teaspoons? If we have another serving in here and another half of serving, if 8 teaspoons is one serving, then we have to put another 12 in. So let's do that together. Let's count and do full teaspoons this time. 1, 2, count with me, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, that's the small one. That's the small one. If this is a, how many ounces is that?
20 fluid.
20 ounces, so it's a teaspoon per ounce. If you go for the larger size, which most people do, then you'd have to, let's see, how many ounces is that? I think it's 32 ounces. You'd have to add, or 35, something like that. Anyway, you have to add another 15 teaspoons. But Ivan, I'm not through with you yet. Come on back up. Most people want a little something solid in their stomach when they have their soda pop, and so they'll get something like a Milky Way. So let's see how many teaspoons of sugar are in this candy bar that most people would have with their soda pop. And right there.
21 grams.
21. So we'll round it down to 20. What's 4 into 20? 5. Now what's the next question that we want to ask ourselves?
How many servings?
How many servings? How many servings do we have here, Ivan?
3.
3? Do you share your Milky Way bar with two other people, or is it hidden in your scarf drawer? Okay, so how many teaspoons is that altogether in that candy bar? 15. Okay, let's take a look at that and see what that looks like for one snack. All right, let's count. 15. 1, full teaspoons. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, thank you, Ivan. Let's give Ivan a hand. Go, Ivan. All right, now, this is a small soda and a candy bar. If you have the larger size, which is the typical size, you'd have to add another 15 teaspoons to this, but we don't have room in this glass. This is what is called a mind-altering dose of a macronutrient. This actually can change how the brain works and create, over time, cravings and addictions. This isn't the same as having an after-dinner mint, is it? Or an occasional cookie. We're talking about people doing this 2 or 3 or 4 times a day, and it can affect you when you're taking a test. It will affect you when you're needing to be bright and cheerful. You may have tension and fatigue. You know, it's one thing to be tense. You can go for a run. It's another thing to be fatigued. You can take a nap. But when you're tense and fatigued at the same time, which is what this sort of chemical composition does in large doses, then what's going to likely happen to you mood-wise? What's going to happen? You're going to be crabby. That's right, just like maybe some of your friends are from this type of regimen. We could do the same thing with fat today, but we don't have time. Our bodies need sugar, and small amounts of even refined sugar are not bad. But the problem is this can create tolerance very, very quickly and actually restructure the brain. If we were to look at a chain like this and look at the type of sugar that we're getting, this is what it would look like. It's a simple sugar, and you digest it very, very rapidly. And so it plays havoc with hormones, and it also plays havoc with vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant metabolism so that your body becomes drained, it becomes tired, and your mental engine now pings instead of purrs. Well, if this is a short-chain sugar, what would this be? It would be complex, wouldn't it? And what would be the advantage of taking a sugar in a complex form? It's going to, pardon?
It'd take longer to break down.
It's going to take longer to digest. It's going to help balance hormones. Let me just share with you before we get into our few slides that we're going to look at. Has anybody ever seen one of these? I found out this year that these are real popular at camp meeting. This is called the Big Gulp Cup, and you can get it. It's a 64-ounce soda or smoothie or slushy, whatever they call them, and you buy your cup at the beginning of the summer for $4, and you can refill it anytime you want for a dollar. Such a deal, right? Now, there's just of one type of sugar, fructose, there are 135 grams of fructose in this. Just to make this realistic, and if I was able to get to a store, I would have brought a visual to show you. But in order to get that much sugar in the natural foods that we eat, you would have to eat, guess how many peaches? Guess. 40 peaches. Now, if I were to stand up here and eat 40 peaches, you'd call me a pig, wouldn't you? Send me home. I don't even know if I could eat 40 peaches in a week. A peach only has 4 grams of fructose. This is 135 in one dose. And what this is doing is it's creating brain chemistry almost identical to morphine addiction. And so people really do develop some very serious problems. So what is the vital element that's missing? Now we're going to turn the light out and just look at a few slides until we our time is through here today. If we could get the...
I think it's kind of tricky to turn these lights off, but I'll try.
Okay.
It's a weird thing
to do. All right. Oh, good. That's fine. That's very nice. All right. Now, having discussed the drink issue and just the kinds of doses of sugar that we're getting just in some of these snack foods, I have a question for you. There's a lot of sickness and disease in the world today. Wouldn't you agree with that? And lifestyle diseases are ravaging not just our country, but even countries like Africa, and Bulgaria, Chile, Argentina, half of the population obese or overweight. In some African countries, obesity outstrips malnutrition 4-1. It's a very, very serious problem. Now, with all of the kinds of lifestyle diseases, in America, 7 out of 10 adults are dying of lifestyle diseases. And young people, a large proportion of young people actually have fatty streaks, and they're beginning to have some problems with brain function as a result of the types of eating patterns that they have. Diseases are plaguing us. What are some lifestyle diseases? Can you name some for me?
Heart disease.
Heart disease. What else? Diabetes. What else? Cancer, stroke, high blood pressure, hypertension. If you were to think, let's imagine that you're a doctor. If you could think of one single nutritional intervention, just one nutritional intervention that would wipe out 30 different, not wipe out, but would significantly reduce the risk for 30 different diseases that would have a major impact on the prevalence, severity, and incidence of 30 major chronic diseases, what is the one intervention that you would recommend? What would you recommend? Anybody? One thing. One piece of advice. Nutrition. One piece of nutritional advice that you could give. You have 5 minutes to give one piece of nutrition advice to your patients. And what's it going to be? Anybody? Somebody's saying water. Somebody's saying eat vegan. Okay. Exercise is not nutrition, but it is very important. All right, let's look at it. What we're talking about today is fiber in the diet. Fiber, plant fiber. How much fiber is in this steak? There's 60 grams of fat. How much fiber? How much fiber is in this egg? My latex egg. How much fiber in this cheese or in this pizza? How much fiber? What is fiber? Can somebody tell me what fiber is? Somebody said the ultimate insulting thing to someone that loves fiber like I do. They called it sawdust. I just think that's so awful. What an awful way to look at it. I want to teach you this morning a little bit about dietary fiber, what it is, what it isn't. You will never find fiber in an animal product. Why? Because it is only a component of plant foods. That's right. So let's take a look a little bit this morning about fiber. Let's look at some fiber facts. We're going to answer these questions. What is fiber? Why do we need it? Usually I have a table with a beautiful array of what? What would I have on the table that's gorgeous to look at? Beautiful fruits and veggies. Think of the most gorgeous fruits and vegetables that you can think of. Every color of the rainbow. Beautiful whole grains, beans, nuts, legumes, all the things that give satiety. What diseases are influenced by fiber? How can we get more? And what is it? Dietary fiber is actually non-digestible carbohydrates. It actually is glucose. But it's configured in such a way that we lack the enzymes in our digestive tract so that we cannot absorb that fiber. So did God make a mistake? Did he make a mistake? He just misconfigured the glucose so we can't get it? We can't use it? We're not ruminating animals. So in terms of biologic value, in terms of absorbing that glucose and getting energy from glucose, no, fiber doesn't do that. But dietary fiber is defined as non-digestible carbohydrates and lignin that are intact and in the plants naturally. Now, soluble fiber, this has caused some confusion. People think of soluble fiber as being digestible, but soluble fiber is no more digestible than insoluble fiber, but in fact, the solubility refers to the water-holding capacity of the elements. Now, pectin. Anybody heard of pectin? People that make jam use pectin to thicken their jams. Pectin is a soluble fiber. We find it in a lot of fruits, legumes, and some vegetables. Gums, we find in oatmeal, barley, beans, and legumes. Just adding oatmeal to the diet has an amazing effect biologically on cholesterol. It has a cholesterol-lowering effect, and it also helps to regulate insulin and blood sugar. Now, here's the thing. Are all oatmeals alike? It depends on the way they're processed, doesn't it? Have you ever had an instant oatmeal, the instant packages? I'm not against having instant oatmeal, but it is highly refined compared to the oat groat or even a whole oat. So there's a difference in its water-holding capacity. Even though instant oatmeal is a whole grain, because it is so finely milled, it has lost some of its water-holding capacity. The water-holding capacity of the soluble fibers is what holds it in the small intestine, the duodenum. That's what holds that fiber there, and it actually increases mineral absorption. Yes, there are some kinds of fiber that actually increase mineral absorption, and the water-holding capacity keeps that fiber there so that you have more satiety, better blood sugar control, and it also binds to bile acids. So, and bile acids are the major route of excretion for cholesterol that is being excreted through bile. And so it has an amazing effect. So that's not to say we should never have an instant oatmeal, but because it doesn't have the high water holding capacity, you're going to be hungry a lot sooner. And so it's always better to go as close to the unrefined state, especially if you're a diabetic or if you have blood sugar problems. So we find the gum fibers in oatmeal, barley, beans, legumes, and this is something that we should try to have in our diet every single day. The beta-glucans, cereal brands, and oats and barley, and some hemiceluloses, bran, whole grains, nuts, legumes, vegetables, and fruits. So the soluble fibers, what are the benefits? First of all, delayed gastric emptying, which is a good thing because when your stomach feels full and when the food is held in the small intestine, what is going to happen in terms of satiety? What is satiety? It's how satisfied you feel after a meal. It's going to hold you there longer, so you're going to be less likely to wind up craving this two or three times a day. And some people drink two or three of these a day, and they can't figure out why they're grouchy, tired, and can't even remember their own home phone number. Soluble fiber lowers cholesterol for the reasons that I explained to you. It binds to the bile acids that break down fat. When the body uses bile, it excretes bile into the small intestine to break down fatty acids, and part of the composition of that bile is cholesterol. So it's a major way to bind to that cholesterol and excrete it and lower cholesterol. It improves insulin regulation. What does insulin do? What's the function of insulin? Anybody? Insulin carries glucose into the cells, particularly skeletal muscle and adipose tissue. And so you have better insulin control. It is known that elevated levels of insulin are associated not only with abdominal obesity and diabetes, certain cancers, but also Alzheimer's disease. And you'll have better blood sugar control because you have slower release of the sugars that are digestible in the beans. Because are there sugars in the beans, starches, that are digestible? Yes, there are digestible and non-digestible starches in those beans and in those fruits and vegetables. And the pectins in particular are very rapidly solubilized, and so they actually are an amazing addition to your diet to increase iron and calcium absorption. Now, insoluble fiber is different than the soluble fiber. It comes in a different form, and it's comprised of cellulose, lignin, resistant starch, some hemicelluloses, and you find it mainly in your vegetables, wheat, beans, legumes, some fruits, and most grain products. Well, the insoluble fibers are equally fascinating and equally important. One thing that many people don't know, they just think of fiber as roughage, and I'm going to ask this young lady to come up here for just a moment. What is your name? Laura, would you just grab the end of this rope and walk that way? This is the length of the digestive tract, and insoluble fiber has a very particular function in the large colon and in the digestive tract. Most people think of fiber just as roughage or bulk to help move things along. But we've seen already that the soluble fibers actually slow transit time. Now, the insoluble fibers increase transit time, but the interesting thing about insoluble fiber is that they are part of a very active biologic community in the gut, in the colon. How many of you, I'm sure we've all experienced times of loneliness, and I have to smile to myself because in our gut there are more than 400 species of bacteria, and so I'm never really alone, ever. And insoluble fiber is a very, very important component of that biologic colony. As a matter of fact, when we have these kinds of macronutrients invading the system with huge amounts of fatty foods, it actually alters the colonies, the types of bacterial colonies that live in the colon. And it can increase your risk of gut diseases, diverticulitis. You've heard of that? Irritable bowel syndrome. You ever heard of that? Irritable bowel syndrome. Did you know that IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, leads to IPS? Do you know what IPS is? Irritable person syndrome. And insoluble fiber is also linked to lower formation of polyps, or the little cells that can become cancerous. So insoluble fiber lowers colon pH, which helps to inhibit cancer growth. It lowers the risk of colon cancer. It increases iron and calcium binding, which is actually a good thing. There's actually, with especially what is called the heme irons, or the irons that you find in meats, when you have too much of this absorbed into the system, it actually increases risk of infection and certain cancers, as well as heart attack. And so a very, very important component is the actual binding. High levels of calcium are linked with increased risk of metastatic prostate cancer, and osteoarthritis and thrombosis. What is thrombosis? That's blood clotting. And so actually, what happens when you have the insoluble fibers, which increase the absorption of plant iron and calcium in the small intestine, the cycling of those minerals in the system is actually increased fivefold. You have increased efficiency, but lower overall levels. Isn't that a great thing? Aren't we all into efficiency, fuel efficiency? And that is the beauty of the diet that God has designed for us. It actually makes what we do absorb more efficient, but it keeps us from having too much, which can cause problems like arthritis and other types of degenerative diseases and increased infection. And it decreases transit time. Decreased transit times means that the elements of the diet that aren't digested move more quickly. And you have improved microflora colonization. You have a healthier gut flora so that you have more antiparasitic activity, more antiviral, anti-inflammatory, and anti-proliferative, which means that you actually have a bacterial colonization that is going to fight disease, keep inflammation down, and maximize absorption. Doesn't that sound like a good thing? People are so concerned about getting this or that nutrient or this or that mineral, but really having a healthy gut has everything to do. Nutrition is a three-legged stool. It has to do with not only absorption, but also utilization of those nutrients and retention. Those are the three legs of the nutrition stool. So if any one of those legs is missing, you have a very poor nutritional profile. And having high fiber in the diet gives you not only maximal absorption of nutrients, but you also have optimal utilization because you're getting your minerals and vitamins in the right ratios. For instance, calcium and magnesium in the leafy green vegetables are in the right ratio. So you have maximum utilization of those essential nutrients. If calcium levels are too high, then it actually causes a magnesium loss. And magnesium is a major anti-stress mineral. It's utilized for more than 350 enzyme functions. It's essential for energy production. And when I work with people that are really fatigued and they can't think and they have muscle aches and pains, the first thing I think of is they have too much calcium, not enough magnesium. So getting this fiber in the diet is going to maximize the utilization of nutrients. And it's also going to inhibit unnecessary excretion. It's going to maximize the retention of those nutrients. Very, very high calcium diets also cause a loss of B vitamins. And so you see, we are very finely calibrated machines. And so when I choose fruits and fresh nuts for breakfast and whole grain breads, at least 2 grams of fiber per slice, over donuts and coffee, I'm actually creating a symphony of nutrients that is going to work, an orchestra that's going to work together to maximize my overall health. That's why we can't find optimal nutrition in a pill. It's just not there. It's not possible. It's not to say there's never a place for a supplement, but in the plant foods, we are going to find the optimal balance. And as I mentioned, well, I didn't mention this, another really fascinating thing about insoluble fiber is that it actually provides an energy substrate for the gut cells, for the colon cells. And colon gut cells turn over. They have very rapid turnover. And so when you take insoluble fiber in, the bacteria actually ferment the fiber foods and break it down to produce propionic acid and butyrate and a couple of other things to provide energy for those actual cells. They also, the insoluble fiber is actually essential in the absorption of certain vitamins as well and the formation of certain vitamins like vitamin K. So how many of you have a new respect for soluble and insoluble fiber this morning? It's a wonderful thing that God has given us. I have a book this thick just on fiber. And it is so interesting to see how God massages our systems and enhances every aspect of immune function. And a really interesting study from Cardiff University in Wales showed that increased fiber intake improves mental as well as physical health in just 10 days. Better feelings of self-esteem, higher levels of cognition, better ability to do tests, better performance, and it's not just the nutrient content of the foods, it's the actual calibrating of our systems to work properly. So when you're buying bread, look at the labels, make sure that you have at least 2 grams of fiber per slice. Otherwise, you know what they say, the whiter the bread, the quicker you're dead. And make sure that when you have cereals, that you have at least 4 grams or 5 grams of fiber per serving. So that kind of kicks out some of the cereals that, like cornflakes. A gram of fiber? Okay, fine. Once in a while for a treat, that's fine. But we want to be watching, don't we? It's nice to have novelty in our diet. I'm not against having a piece of white bread. I'm not against cookies. I'm not against some of those treats. But they should be novelty items for us. Do you agree with me on that? Are we in harmony on that? You know, I know that somebody has a problem when they'll say, I never use a teaspoon of sugar on anything, ever. Well, I know that they're not going to stay on that wagon very long because we live in a real world. We are in an imperfect world. We have to do our best in the situation. And there are times when we are going to have a dessert, and that's okay. But we want to reduce those cravings so that when we have a small bite of something sweet, we say, whoa, that's enough. Don't you want to be at that place where you have just a little bit and, oh, that's plenty. No more, thanks. That's a dream state for some people. Well, what's the recommended intake of fiber? Adults should get 30 to 50 grams. Children, their age plus 5 grams after age 2. But what is the actual intake? Adults are getting about 10 grams a day, and our dietitian says that that's very, very liberal. They're actually getting about 8. That's if they eat every sesame seed on their McDonald's burger. Children are getting less than 1% of recommended intake. Okay, what does a 10-gram-a-day fiber program look like? Breakfast, Egg McMuffin, coffee, orange juice, 1 gram. That's if you eat part of the box that comes in. Lunch, burger, fries, soft drink, pie. Is that a typical lunch for people? Maybe 3 grams. Dinner, chicken, green beans, iceberg lettuce, white roll with butter and coffee. Maybe 5 grams because of the green beans. That's 10 grams. What does a 45-gram day look like? That's what we want. And someone who's diabetic or overweight wants to get up toward 45 or 50 grams. Anywhere from 30 to 50 grams is optimal for adults. Breakfast, cup of oatmeal, 8 grams. 2 fruits, 2 whole grains, two slices of whole grain toast at 2 grams apiece, 1/8 of a cup of nuts, 18 grams. That's 2 days' worth of fiber compared to what average Americans are getting. Lunch, 2 cups of black bean soup, that's 16 grams of fiber. Mixed green salad, bran muffin, 17 grams. Brown rice with a little tofu, veggie sticks. Does this seem like a little bit more satisfying regimen than the other? Which one's going to make you feel more sluggish and sleepy? Which regimen? It's the first. And which one is going to make you stand at the vending machine a couple hours later looking for those ding-dongs? You know, they don't call them ding-dongs for nothing, do they? Bonkers, zingers. Just in terms of calories, when you remove the fiber, you could have an 8-ounce chocolate bar. How can you eat an 8-ounce chocolate bar? How fast? You know, when I'm skiing all day and I pack a really nice lunch and we're out there in the freezing cold, you know, to me it seems like a suicide venture to go skiing. I do it because my family loves it. But here you're suspended between heaven and earth on this chair with these things on your feet, no seatbelt, nobody helps you get off. The chair never stops moving. It's just horrible. But I endure it because I love my family. But I'm out there in the freezing cold with ice on my nose. This is vacation and just freezing to death. And we come in. I pack a nice lunch. But, yeah, I'll get a candy bar in a situation like that. I'll get something because I'm consuming thousands of calories. I'm burning thousands of calories. And you need some condensed calories at various times in your life. It's a nice treat. But when people do this all the time, here's the comparison. You could have 25 carrots. Or a 5-ounce chocolate bar and 3 pounds of apples. 3 pounds of apples. That's about 4 or 5 apples. A cheeseburger or 25 cups of popcorn. A milkshake or 5 bananas. 1 Danish or an apple, a banana, an orange, and 1/2 cantaloupe. See the difference? This gratifies, this satisfies. This actually rearranges brain circuitry and actually highly develops the circuitry for the mouth, tongue, taste, and feel in a certain part of the brain that actually creates over-wiring or over-sensitivity so that these kinds of foods then lose their gustatory appeal. These people can no longer taste. And this is actually one of the factors in obesity. And so there's a paring down in the brain circuits that has to occur when we shift from a rich diet to a diet that is more satisfying, a plant-based diet. There's a period of time where the food just doesn't taste right, no matter how well you cook it. We need more of this stuff, rainbow of colors, and less, more of this, see nice fatty acids, avocado, olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, whole soy, really good source of iron, and omega-3 fats, flax, nuts, versus this stuff. What are the overall fiber food benefits? Lower risk for GI disorders, increased hydration. What is hydration? More water. And the interesting thing is that fiber foods contain more oxygen and water, and so there's a shift that takes place metabolically away from fat storage toward energy production. And so it increases something called thermogenesis. So your resting metabolic rate throttles up, and you can actually consume more actual calories without gaining weight. How many of you like that idea? The average Chinese consumes about 300 more calories a day, even adjusting for exercise levels, than the average Westerner, but they are thin. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why. Displaces unhealthful foods, improves physical and mental function, increased vitamin and mineral intake, increased phytochemical intake. Phytochemicals, there are 25,000 phytochemicals in the plant kingdom, and they give the color, flavor, and texture to the beautiful foods that we enjoy. And many of them have a very profound effect on mental function, balance, cognition, and memory, as well as overall immune function. Increased antioxidants take. That's the cleanup crew that when you have cellular damage, they sweep up the mess so that you don't develop plaque and inflammation and gut problems and dementia, those kinds of things. And you have more color, more variety, and more flavor. Well, we have to end here, but how can we get more? Let's just talk for just a moment as we close. How can we get more fiber in our diet? Anybody? In the morning, you know, you could pull open your drawer. I worked with a guy. He would open his drawer in the morning and take a handful of candy before he even put his feet on the floor in the morning. What can we do in the morning to get more fiber? What can we do? Somebody? Eat nuts? Have some nuts with your breakfast? What else? Whole grain cereals? Whole grain breads? A couple of choices of fresh fruit. What about lunch? How can we get more fiber at lunchtime? What can we do? Is it possible to get fast food that's high in fiber? Sure. There are some really nice choices. You can buy falafels, and you can buy stuffed grape leaves, and you can buy pre-made salads at the store. You can get whole grain sandwiches. You can get veggie stuffed sandwiches, beans, refried beans, great source of soluble fiber. What about supper? What can we do for supper to get some more fiber? Instead of pizza, we can get what? Nice vegetable soup, bean soups. There are all kinds of options out there, even when you're in a hurry, to increase fiber. So how many of you want to start thinking more about getting those fiber choices? When you buy breads, when you buy cereals, look at the labels. Make sure those slices of bread have at least 2 grams per slice. You can get bagels that have 7 grams. Oh, we know that they add a lot of fiber to things. You can get beer with fiber in it. So use your head, get the good stuff. And we need to close now. We're going to have prayer, but I hope you're motivated and appreciative of what our Heavenly Father has given us just in plant fiber. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time that we could spend together. And I pray that you would help these dear young people not only to go forth with better habits themselves so that they will be free from addictions, but also that you will help them to be teachers of righteousness for your kingdom's sake. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2005, all rights reserved. To order additional CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, call our toll-free order line, 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. You may also download our latest catalog or order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your letters and ongoing financial support are greatly appreciated. This year, 2005, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary, 30 years of faithfully maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra. Speakers associated with this ministry are all on the same page. There is no theological compromise here at ACM. We're helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.